It's just gone 7 o'clock on your Sunday. A very good evening to you and welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with Leah on MKFM, where we dedicate an entire hour on the first Sunday of every month to talk openly and provide a bit of a safe space to discuss a variety of mental health topics, as well as share expert practical advice. As always, I'm joined in the studio by John Manning, who is the founder and giving me a very big smile of Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support here in Milton Keynes. Welcome back to the studio, John.
Hello, thank you. Welcome back.
To you and to me. We're all back in the studio. No, an absolute pleasure. So we do this on the first Sunday of every single month here on MKFM, talking all about mental health. So if people haven't heard about the great work that you do, John, at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, can you give us a bit of an insight?
Yeah, so I don't specifically do it. The wonderful team do. So we've got 30 practitioners across the city working remotely to support about 2,500 families a year. So we provide around 8 sessions for children, young people and adults. So we're talking about age today. So we support about 48% of our population in our service are young people. So that's like 11 to 17 or 11 to 25-ish. And then 25 and over is the other 48%. And then below 10 is about 4% of our service. So we support a real array
wide range
of ages. So if anyone does need any support or want some support, want to chat to us about supporting someone in their family, then please feel free to reach out at arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. And you were just saying about your fantastic team. You're always looking for extra help, and you know, if anyone can help, then that is greatly welcomed, isn't it?
Absolutely. We don't do a huge amount of events at Arthur Ellis. We do have a summer party coming up that we really want to get the population of Milton Keynes behind. So that's somewhere that we're looking at hosting in a park in Milton Keynes, where there's going to be loads of well-being. It's a well-being festival. So there's things that are going to get you moving, things that are going to get you meeting each other, things that are going to get you drawing, like art classes, yoga, all of those sorts of things, some music. So we're really looking for people to get behind us on that. So if there's any organisations out there who are looking to provide some services to a good cause like that, then please get in touch. But also corporates who have volunteer days with people who have got loads of skills, whether it's in legal, whether it's in accounting, development, whatever it might be, we'd love to start utilising some of the skills in Milton Keynes to grow this service.
Basically, everybody can help.
Everyone can help.
Everyone can help.
We don't discriminate.
That's
good.
We
need some help.
Yeah, lovely. So if people do want to help and get in touch, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can head over to our website. We've got a contact form on there, and it's arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. Well, lovely to have you with us, John. So this evening, as John just mentioned, we're going to be talking about mental health in later life. And I'm really pleased to say that we're joined by Tara Bell, who is Volunteer Services Manager at Age UK Milton Keynes. Hello, Tara.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on today.
No, a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us a bit about your role and what you do at Age UK Milton Keynes.
So I've been with Age UK Milton Keynes for 11 years, and I recruit volunteers into the organisation. We're very fortunate. We have nearly 400 volunteers and we rely very heavily on their help. So I spend a lot of my time recruiting and hopefully giving them a lovely experience whilst volunteering with us.
Brilliant. And I'm guessing you're always looking for volunteers as well, aren't
always,
you?
Always, yes.
Trying to recruit for new people.
Yes, yeah, always. Yeah, always happy to have anybody. Same as John said, don't discriminate. Anybody is welcome to come and help support, even if it's just an hour or on an ad hoc basis, or they want to regularly come and commit for, say, a couple of hours at a time, whatever people have to spare, really.
And Age UK Milton Keynes provides such a vital service, doesn't it, to people in their later life?
We do, yes. We are here to provide practical support for older people so that they can stay living independently for longer. But also part of our remit is to offer support to help reduce isolation and loneliness.
Right, yeah. Okay. So how do you do that?
We have a number of different services. Some are free, some we do charge for, and they are just designed to get people socially active. We can have clubs that people can attend. We have befriending service where clients can welcome a volunteer into their home on a regular basis for a cup of tea and a chat, just perhaps once a week, once a fortnight, or go for a walk if they're well enough and want to do that. We can signpost, we have dementia clubs, we have a social prescribing service.
So many things to do with later life.
Yes.
Go to Age UK Milton Keynes.
And yes. You said before we started the show that you had somebody befriending another for 25 years.
Oh, yes.
You know, it developed into a real, like, friendship. It was amazing.
Yes, they did, yeah. So, yeah, when they first started, obviously both parties were a little younger, but when I joined the organisation, the client was 103 and her befriender was 85.
Wow.
And the befriender had been visiting the client, yeah, as I say, for 25 years, and they just amazing. Formed a really lovely friendship.
Well, know? It really shows that it's really mutually beneficial,
yes,
as well.
Absolutely.
Everyone kind of gets something
oh,
out
absolutely.
Of it.
Yes.
So if people are interested in volunteering or they want to find out more about AGK services, I'm guessing they can go onto the website for that.
They can, or they yeah. can telephone. I'm quite happy to take phone calls as well.
Lovely.
Yeah, so whatever suits anybody.
So
really.
Just search AGK Milton Keynes and on Google and all of those details will come up.
Yes, the website is www.ageukmiltonkeynes.org.uk.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to be talking all about mental health in later life throughout this hour, so stick around for more of that next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about mental health in later life, joined as always by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Tara Bell, who is Volunteer Services Manager at Age UK Milton Keynes. So John, when you're working with people in later life, what are some of the mental health issues that you might come across kind of more frequently?
I'd certainly say in comparison to what Age UK's key messages about isolation and loneliness, we do see a lot of loneliness within right. the later life population. Really challenging, like relationships, people move away, there's a lot of disconnect with people. And if you think about the almost social life of somebody slowly breaking down as they get older, being at home a lot more, we also see general well-being being an issue. So not to say that every person in their later years should be running marathons or anything like that, but we can enable people to get out of the house more, but there's sometimes quite a lot of barriers to that. So we do also have some practical support that we need to put in place, whether that's with bills, forms. We see loads of that, so it really does vary, but loneliness being the key thing.
And is that something that you see quite a lot at AGK as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. I was telling John just before the show, actually, that we had a scientist do some research for us at Main Age UK, which is based in London. And they were telling us that they found out that loneliness was more damaging to a person than smoking 15 cigarettes a day,
Gosh.
Having a drinking issue. And these were combined. And he said that the effect of loneliness can be so damaging to an older person. And I'm sure to younger people as well, it's all the same, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Mm. Well, in our areas of well-being, we call them our bananas. So have a banana a day. It's only going to improve your health. You can pick another fruit if you're sat at home thinking, I hate bananas. It's totally fine. But if you were to think about your behaviour as a piece of fruit, something small that you can do on the go, it's only going to make you feel better over time. It's not going to fill you up. It's just going to be part of your day. So a walk, for example, is a banana rather than a full-blown marathon. And communicating is one of our areas of well-being. It's one of our bananas. So Harvard did this really interesting study. I think it was the longest living study, or the research went for the longest period of time ever. And it was analysing somebody's entire life, or a group of people's entire life, and they had a look at, right, at the end of their life, who was the healthiest, who was the happiest, who was the most comfortable, which is the definition of well-being, how comfortable, happy and healthy we are. And the people who lived the longest, who were the most happy, healthy and comfortable, were the people who had those connections with other people, those strong connections, those good relationships. So really communicating with others and the relationships that we build can't be underestimated.
Absolutely. So what do we think are some of the reasons for people in later life's loneliness? What are some of those factors that might contribute to that?
Well, as John said earlier, it is families being quite fragmented, and our clients, they can lose friends, and that can be quite sort of damaging to mental health as well, to be attending funerals quite
yeah,
often.
Yeah, tackling bereavement, just alone.
Yes, yeah.
Very upsetting.
Challenging.
Even myself, you know, in my early 50s, I've started to lose some friends, and I think it brings your own mortality into question as well. So, and there's lots and lots of different reasons. One of our main issues is trying to locate those people that are lonely, because they don't they don't sort of wave and shout and say, hi, you know, I'm lonely, can you help me? It's just trying to reach those people that is quite difficult for us as an organisation.
Right.
It's almost the quieter ones. I think paramedics are trained when they go to an RTC or some sort of accident. They're trained to look out for the people that aren't screaming because they're the quiet ones are the ones you've got to worry about.
Yes.
And it's a very similar kind of principle.
It is, yeah. It is hard to reach. And I don't like to use the term older people, but they are, they're generally very proud. Well, they don't like to ask for help. Mm. So we do rely on family members or social services, hospital,
neighbours, I suppose.
Neighbours, yeah. We get leads from various different places.
Mm. I have to say, my postman... or post person is very, very good, and he will always check in. I live in a village just on the outskirts of Milton Keynes, and he's always great at, whenever I'm in, he's like, are you okay today, how are you? And I can tell I can hear him then going down the street, and he checks in with some of my elderly neighbours as well.
Oh,
and
that's brilliant.
I can see those kind of pillars of the community are so important at kind of alerting when somebody isn't quite, you know, isn't quite
a bit of a
right.
welfare check.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. Yeah.
But living in a village is very similar. And I suppose Milton Keynes, the way that Milton Keynes is set up is it's a group of villages that builds a city.
Yes.
So getting around, like we've been talking about this bus service that's been put in. Buses are great. Don't want to knock public transport. Helps people get around. But Tara, you've seen some issues with the way that it's been changed.
Yes, not across Milton Keynes, just in certain areas where they have cut the bus route and they've brought in a service called MK Connect.
Right.
Which, in theory, it sounds great. It's app-based, so you can order it pretty much like a taxi. And it is actually regarded as a sort of private hire as opposed to the bus service. So that's how it works. So you go onto the app, you order the journey. It's just one way. So, and this does work well, and they have contingencies for disabled people, so they will pick up from the door, which is really, really good. The problem being is that they would rather people order this via the app, and for lots of older people.
You said
people,
the main word app, which I guess for people in their later life.
Yes, it is difficult. So we've had clients that have been on the phone up to 45 minutes trying to order one of the buses.
Oh, gosh.
And then obviously they get the bus, but then they've got the fear of not getting back again because they've got to go through the same procedure to get a return journey from wherever they have gone. So we've had countless of our clients saying that it's stopped them going out.
Oh, that's
they don't
so
want
sad.
To do it because they can't afford a taxi, and they can't have the fear of not being able to get back.
Mm. Oh, it's understandable, isn't it? No, none of us
dark
would want
as
that.
Well. It's not really conducive conducive form of transport. So transport is always an issue. It always has been for us as an organization, just because of the cost. And for some people, they might need a wheelchair taxi, which is very expensive. So yeah, it's always an issue for us, transport.
And I suppose you were just mentioning about an app. I suppose tech in general is probably a bit of a barrier for a lot of people.
It is
as well.
Yeah, and it does seem to be getting worse as well.
Everything's going in that direction, isn't it? So bills, forms,
we offer a service that is called information and advice, and that helps people fill out forms for benefits. So as people's health declines, they could be eligible for benefits that they don't realise. So we do offer that as a free service. But what we tend to find we're doing is passport renewal, home insurance renewal, just because all these forms are online. And I have to say, a lot of our clients have got smartphones. They're great, really. A lot of people embrace technology, but I think filling a form in is just that one step too far. And you've probably found as well, some forms aren't great on a phone. You know, they're better if you're filling them out on a laptop or a computer. So we do get a request for lots of form filling, and obviously it's quite time consuming as well.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, it's obviously a really big topic here in Milton Keynes, so we're going to be continuing the discussion about mental health in later life next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we are talking all about mental health in later life, and joined by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Tara Bell, who is Volunteer Services Manager at Age UK Milton Keynes. So we were just talking about some challenges that people have in later life, one of those being loneliness. And you started talking about the bananas and donuts kind of maybe coming a little bit out of sync. So tell us a little bit more about that and how maybe we can boost some of our kind of good stuff rather than
yeah, so if
the
anyone's just
stuff.
Tuning in and thinking bananas and donuts, John's lost it. bananas are a metaphor for our healthy behaviours. Have one a day and it's just going to make you improve. Donuts are the things that replace our bananas, so the indulgent behaviours. If you think about having a donut every day or introducing a donut every day, it might be great for a couple of days. Some people might be sitting back and thinking, wonderful, you know, come at me, donuts.
Yeah.
But after 6 months or so, we're going to start feeling sluggish, tired. We're not really going to have the energy for things. We might also see some physical changes or conditions seeping in. So our donuts are things that replace our bananas. So if we're not enabling older people or people in later life to get out and use buses, get out and about, get their bananas in, even if walking is just to a bus stop, for example, like that's fresh air for them and getting out and about, they might end up just sitting at home and watching TV for hours. They could end up not speaking to somebody for days. Mm. So these donuts start to creep in, and that ultimately damages our well-being in the long term.
So we've obviously talked about all of those challenges, but here in Milton Keynes, there are some really positive things that people can do to kind of combat loneliness and some of the things that we've been talking about so far. Lots of clubs and things, isn't there, Tara, in Milton
there
Keynes?
There is, yeah, not just with us, you know, with lots of things popping up. That's one of the good things about Milton Keynes, is that they seem to be quite on the ball with things that are needed. So we run a few clubs, and one is a friendship group and one is a longer lunch. The friendship group is for people that can just want to come for a couple of hours, socialise. We provide some entertainment and activities, and they get some lunch. The longer lunch is
Lunch sounds great. I want a longer lunch.
Me too. The
longer
who
lunch
doesn't?
Is a very similar format, but only once a week.
Once a week, yeah. Okay.
And that's 4 hours, and they get a hot dinner at lunchtime.
Oh, 4 hour lunch.
Yeah. That sounds great, doesn't it?
We're singing, we have line dancing, and all sorts of entertainment. Oh. But it is more about the getting people out and socialising. It's always very noisy because in our building we work on top of the long lunch and the friendship club. So, yeah, it's always very noisy. You always get lots of singing and lovely laughter. It's fantastic.
Are the long lunches always in the same location?
Yeah, so before COVID we had quite a few lunch clubs dotted around Milton Keynes, which was ideal because not everybody, you know, following on from talking about the buses, not everybody can get into us. We're based at Pear Tree Bridge, which is near the hospital. So the clubs that were running before COVID were dotted around, you know, north and south. It was quite nice. We covered quite a good area, but they had to close. So we are in the process of reopening clubs, but it's a slow process. You have to employ staff and get a new team of volunteers to help. Finding the right place to go. So we are in the process of doing that. But so at the moment, the clubs are operating out of Pear Tree Bridge. We have reopened the Olney Club, and that was because the Olney Council were very keen for us to do that. And that works really well. That's a drop-in. That's a slightly different arrangement. Anybody can just drop in on a Thursday lunchtime and get a nice two-course meal there.
Lovely. Where did you say that was?
In the Olney Town Centre.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
Because I have noticed that's kind of my neck of the woods, out towards that way. And I've noticed on the Olney notice board on Facebook that a lot of people had actually said about elderly relatives that, you know, maybe they needed a place to go. And a lot of people were reaching out saying, where can I go? So it's great now that we have that knowledge. I can write back to those people and say, go and check that out. Because, that's really, really beneficial. What else is going on in Milton Keynes that people can come along
to? So we are good at signposting as well for other clubs. There are we have noticed some other clubs are dotting up around Milton Keynes. I think the problem with COVID is that everything just stopped, and for lots of organisations, and we're finding the same thing, it's quite a slow process getting them going again. But they're so needed. We do have memory clubs, and they have become I don't want to use the word popular, that's probably not the right word. Unfortunately, they're needed.
Right.
And so we are running those 5 times a week now at Pear Tree Bridge.
So what's a memory club?
So they are people who are having memory issues.
Right.
Mild to moderate dementia or any kind of memory issues. Don't need a diagnosis. And they can come along, and we operate a MCST process when we're running the club. So it's based on cognitive-based therapy. And it's been shown that by running these sessions, we're helping to try and halt the onset of the further dementia.
So I think with advanced something like dementia, you can't necessarily stop it, but you can really slow it down by
absolutely
doing these things, can't you?
Like
almost mitigate the effects for a prolonged period of time.
Yes. So the clubs are run specifically around that kind of CBT kind of way. Obviously, the clients don't realise that, they're just coming and they're having fun, and but they are being prompted.
It's
and
subtle, which
it's
is,
very subtle. Otherwise, they wouldn't like it.
And actually, all of those things feeds into your bananas kind of analogy, doesn't it, John? Because it's
absolutely
about kind of getting out there. You're probably moving if you're walking to the bus stop or whatever, but then you're communicating when you're at places, or you might be discovering different things at some of those sessions.
Absolutely, like singing as well. So focus is one of the bananas, and that's basically getting away from screens, getting away from just sitting on your bum in front of the telly, but drawing your attention to the present moment and what's going on. So those long lunches, everyone's going to be present and with other people, so communicators there, moving. And moving doesn't have to be walking or anything else. Obviously, they're getting out of the house, which is great, that's a good start, but it could be by singing you are also being quite active.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Do some chair exercises
chair
as well.
Chair exercises, yeah. Yes. So it ticks so many boxes for people in later life. But even for people who may volunteer with Age UK and go to these groups and support them, they're also fulfilling their help banana, which is supporting others. But also, if they're getting involved and getting engaged in these groups, then they're going to be accessing all of those benefits as well. So even for volunteers, not necessarily beneficiaries of the service, it's going to be great for well-being.
Brilliant. So I suppose the main thing here is to not be lonely. There are so many fantastic services and groups and different things in Milton Keynes. So definitely make sure you head over to Age UK's website and they can give you all the details over there. And we're going to continue talking about all of those different services next. So we've just been talking about the various services that are available for people in their later life. And one of the things that you mentioned, Tara, was about your befriending service. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So befriending service is free at the point of delivery for our clients. And that is would involve a volunteer going to visit a client in their own home for company and conversation. It's a very flexible service, so with regards to volunteering, I have a lot of people that can work full time and fit this in, because it can just be on a flexible arrangement. It doesn't have to be on the same day at the same time every week, which can be off-putting for some volunteers if they've got other commitments. And at the time when they're visiting, it is just purely about the client, and it's just chatting, building those relationships. It's the same volunteer with the same client to help maintain that sort of cementing a relationship. And they just have a lovely time, really. It's just helping to try and ease that isolation. They don't necessarily have to stay in. We do walking befriending as well, if any clients are happy to do that. Some of my befrienders have got to know each other now, so they go and meet. They meet at Dobby's, and they'll take their clients with them. So it's become almost a little group in itself.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I love
a garden centre.
Yeah. It's become like almost like a little lunch club in itself, which is great, because befriending is kind of a last resort, really. We would always try and encourage people to come out of the house, get away from your four walls, because that isn't great for mental health. And so by the befriender taking them out of the house, it's a win-win, really.
And I suppose you can ease into it if you have someone that comes in and you build that rapport, and then you trust that person to then go out maybe to the garden centre for a coffee or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Or come to the clubs, and it's just about building confidence. We also have a little club down in Durrant's House in Fenny Stratford, and that is welcome for anybody just to drop in. It's a free club on a Monday morning.
Right.
I know how you said how flexible you are with your befrienders, but would one befriender befriend one befriendee? One client? I don't know how would it
generally
work.
Generally, yes. So they come in and they have one client that they go and visit. If they want to visit more than one person, they are more than welcome. And I do have several volunteers that have three or four clients that they visit throughout the week, luckily, because they have that sort of time and availability. And they're very generous with their time, some of the volunteers. You know, they take them out and take them shopping, and it's just lovely. It's lovely.
So could one befriend... I'm very interested about this.
Yeah.
Would one befriender, if say, a befriender had four people that they would go and see in the week, is it possible to then get those four people together? So almost You can get them to start communicating with each other.
Isn't it?
Yeah, so this is one of the things we're trying to do, because our waiting list for clients wanting the service had got so large, and we thought, how can we group these together, you know, especially if they're all living, say, in a postcode area, why not get them all together?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And providing that they can get the transport there, then yeah, why not? So that is something that we try to do. We try to look for pockets where we can do things like that, because it's better for them as well.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Get helps to make friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of person would become a befriender? Is it a mix of people? Do you see certain
a real
type of mix?
Yeah. So as I sort of said, we do get a lot of people that work full time that can fit this in, perhaps at the weekend or the evening. Sometimes the weekends are a very lonely time for people in later life. If they don't have a relationship with family or don't have any local family, they can really feel that sort of bite of loneliness on a Saturday or a Sunday, you know, and when perhaps their friends that they have are seeing their own families. So those kind of befrienders that are available over the weekend are really quite useful as well. And in the evening, although sometimes with clients, especially in the winter months, they don't necessarily want somebody coming or knocking on the door when it's pitch black. So that there are sort of peaks and, you know, and benefits.
In the early stages of linking a befriender with a client, is it... I would be, to personally, luckily I don't need it. I'm very, very fortunate. But... if someone just showed up at my house and said, I'm your friend now, is it facilitated in a way?
It's absolutely facilitated,
okay.
Yes.
I'd be quite suspicious.
That's a good point, yeah.
I've been sent by Age UK.
Yeah. You don't know me, but I know you.
Yeah,
no. My befriending coordinator goes on the first visit.
Oh, nice.
And she makes introductions because she's generally met both parties.
Right.
Even it'd be awkward. You would starting that communication and having that chat. So it's really nice that it's almost facilitated, and then, you know, off you go.
Yes. So Sam is looking for common interests, and we try to. It's a bit like matchmaking, actually.
Yeah. It sounds
so we
it, yeah.
are. We know a little bit about the clients. And because I've done the interview with a volunteer, I know the volunteer. So Sam and I get together and we do a bit of matchmaking and see who might get on. We generally keep the sexes together. That seems to work better. We do have some ladies that visit men and vice versa, but generally it seems to work better like that. And I think for some of our male clients, they have quite a lot of females visiting them throughout the day, with district nurses and social workers, and it tends to be quite female heavy. So sometimes for them to have a male befriender go around and talk bloke chat, we call it, then that
bloke
that
chat
work.
That is understandable, and it was like we were saying earlier that actually it can become very mutually beneficial for both parties.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you've known a befriender that's in touch with somebody for like 25 years or something, which is so lovely, and it ties in again with the bananas, doesn't
Absolutely,
it, John?
Yeah, communicate, help, focus, just getting together. Even like you say, once they get to the point of maybe go venturing out and going out for walks and that sort of thing. What sort of age can people start accessing this service?
So, as an organisation, we start at 55, which for a lady in her 50s, I find that quite sad.
Yeah.
But actually, with the when it comes to the friending side of things, we are looking at older people.
Okay.
So generally we wouldn't be offering that service to anyone in the younger category unless there were physical issues and they were housebound, then obviously them would do. That tends to be the criteria. If the client is living independently still, is quite isolated and lonely, and for health issues can't get out and about, then we would offer the service.
Well, we were speaking earlier on about the ideal time for someone to become a befriender, almost when they reach retirement or they free up some time, because I've known people who have retired in my life, and for the first 6 months, a year of doing nothing, they are loving it.
Absolutely.
So similar to that 3 days of donuts.
Yes.
But then after a while, it kind of seeps in that, oh, I'm a bit bored, or maybe I'm getting a bit lonely myself. So what sort of age of befrienders, or what would the ideal befriender look like?
So I do have a mixed age range, but I have to say a lot of the volunteers are just retired, quite newly retired age wise. And I think, like you've just said, John, when somebody is retired, they love that sort of first 6 months a year of just pleasing themselves, and then they would like to get some routine back in their life. They're feeling a little bit lost. They're looking for that reason to kind of get up and get dressed in the morning and have a bit of purpose, because as someone who's worked their whole life, they would have been used to that.
Yeah.
And it's quite strange when that's taken away, and it takes a bit of getting used to. So I do tend to get a lot of volunteers in that age range, and that's great because they're still very energetic, but they've got quite a lot of life experience. They can relate to people in later life very well. So, yeah, that's the age range I aim for.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, if that sounds like something that you are able to help with, there are lots of different channels on how you can get involved, and we'll dive into those next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about mental health in later life. We're just talking with Tara Bell, who is Volunteer Services Manager at Age UK Milton Keynes, about the befriending service. And there are so many different ways that people can get involved, aren't there, Tara?
There is, yes. It doesn't matter whether you only have half an hour or an hour. Lots of volunteering with us can be ad hoc or it can be regular. It doesn't have to be a commitment of sorts.
Just be after work, or
yes,
if you're
absolutely.
If you're at a bit of a bind between after school club finishing and your work finishing, you know, having a couple of hours
go and
free.
Have a cup of tea.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a lot, does it?
It helps to combat that loneliness, doesn't it? If you've
it
got
does.
Somebody at your door and you can have a cuppa and a natter, that really,
absolutely.
Really helps.
And you could be the only person they've seen that day or even that week, so.
Definitely. So that is the Befriender service. You're also always interested in corporate partnerships as well.
Yes, so we do work with lots of the organisations in Milton Keynes. They obviously want to be doing some volunteering as part of their setup as well. So we do work closely together.
So what kind of things might they be doing?
We get them doing all sorts, really.
Yeah,
they get involved
good.
With our fundraising events. They could be helping us do some painting or gardening. So whichever way we can get them involved, then we do. They like to throw themselves into that.
I think before the show you said about a whole team that got all the Christmas decorations up.
They did, yeah. They came and put all our decorations up at Pear Tree Bridge, and
amazing.
It's a huge building. So it took a big team all day, and they did a fantastic job. It looked wonderful.
Oh, brilliant. And it's just the help that you really, really need, and they'll get something out of that as well.
Yes.
People probably quite enjoy getting out of the office and hanging some Christmas decorations
they loved
up for the
it.
Day.
And they even came back this in January and took them down again.
So, oh,
which isn't nice to do.
No, it's never the fun part, is it? We have
no,
to take
not
down
at
the
all.
Decorations.
Less tangled lights.
Yeah.
You just
can
get to tangle them again.
It was a job and a half. Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, I bet.
But you definitely need those corporate partnerships. And also meal drivers. You deliver meals, don't you, as well?
We do, yeah. So this was something that we started during COVID because our clubs were closed. We had a lot of surplus of foods because donations were being delivered. People were furloughed. So I had an abundance of volunteers. It was fantastic. So my cook was bored and he said, oh, do you know what? We're going to put some meals together and deliver them out to the community because we've got a clear idea of perhaps who would like a hot meal. And we just started doing it. And I thought that once the clubs was back and COVID was gone, that we would see an end to that service. But it's just grown and grown. It's an absolutely huge service. We've had to add an extra day. So we now run that 3 times a week. And our capacity is 80 meals a day. And we're nearly at that on all the days.
Wow.
So it's huge. But I do rely on drivers to deliver those meals out in the afternoon. They go out chilled, so it's all prepared, 3-course meal. They get a drink, a treat, a piece of fruit. It's a bit like a goodie bag, so there's no menu. The cook will decide
what you're given. Yeah.
And actually most of our clients are quite good at that. They eat what they're given. It's very good. He obviously can cater to vegetarian or dietary requirements, so that's fine. But there's no menu as such, so you wouldn't be able to order in advance from an array of meals.
A fillet steak or
we do have fillet steak.
Do you? Oh.
We do.
Oh,
wow.
Well, you should have mentioned that at the top of the show.
And it's just such a popular service. But yes, I do rely on meal delivery drivers. So if anybody has a spare hour or an hour and a half in the afternoon, so the meals tend to get delivered out between sort of 12 and 1 in the afternoon.
Right.
And it's not like you're having to travel too far. You can
no.
do it on your patch as
yes
well,
so
right?
Each driver will have a certain area of Milton Keynes and it'll be between 6 and 8 drops, so it's only about an hour of their time. But it's a really good way for us to do a welfare check on that particular client as well, because they do tend to be housebound, and so yeah, it's just a good check-in.
And I'm imagining that with the driver as well, is it, I mean, they do a check-in, but they're just there to deliver, they don't need to cook
Oh, no, the meal no, there. Just dropping on the doorstep, yes.
Okay, yeah. brilliant. And we were talking earlier on about...
you nearly said turkey then.
I was thinking about food.
Yeah.
Do you do turkey? To deliver turkey?
We do.
Do you? Lovely.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
Lovely. About people reaching out, because there might be people listening thinking, I didn't even know that there was a food delivery service and that would be really, really helpful, or, you know, I could really do with a chat and a natter, a cup of tea with somebody. If people are listening to this and thinking, I really want to reach out, but I'm not sure how to, or I just, that's that pride thing like we were talking about a little bit earlier on.
It is a stumbling block for a lot of people to admit that they might be lonely. I mean, none of us want to ever have to admit that to ourselves. Mm. It's really difficult.
So how do people combat that? So they can obviously come to you at Age UK, but is there another avenue that they can go down?
So there is a social prescribing service that operates in Milton Keynes that is run through the GP surgeries. So for people visiting their GP for non-medical related issues, I hope I'm right in saying this, John, then they will be referred to a social prescriber who can help with an array of things.
It can even be for medical issues. If it's like a long-standing condition, for example, and it's managed, but mental health and well-being, it's basically assessed by if it's impacting your day-to-day life. So if you're medically have everything that you need to, so your medications are right and all of that sort of stuff, but you're struggling to access a sport or struggling to access other people, then social prescribers are there. And it's right, I know that we said about Age UK being anyone from the age of 55, but social prescribers, anyone from the age of 18 can access.
Right.
So it's a little bit less restricted. So if there is anyone who thinks, right, all of this sounds wonderful and I need it, but I'm 54... or, you know, I'm 23 or whatever it might be, then social prescribing would be the route for that.
Yeah.
And I suppose actually going to the GP might be an avenue that somebody in later life is maybe used to going to.
It's a bit more familiar.
Yeah. You might be going there for, you know, something else anyway, and you just think, while I'm here, can I just ask about befriending service or things like that?
And it's, you don't have to specifically ask for anything. I think that's kind of one of the key things, is that if somebody knows exactly what they think, like, you know, maybe they've listened to the show and think befriending is going to be best for them, or going to the longer lunch would be best for them from what we've discussed on the show, it's quite specific. Social prescribers will essentially assess your situation over a long triage appointment. So that could be a couple of hours where they really get to know the ins and outs of your life, and then they can suggest things that would be useful. So rather than having, you know, really having it clear in your mind, which a lot of people might not, they can help to clear it up.
That's really helpful to know. I suppose that the key message here for this evening is that if you are feeling lonely, or you are, you know, any of these points have resonated with you, there is so much help in Milton Keynes. There are so many great activities and clubs and
loads of stuff
that you can get involved in. So definitely, you know, don't be lonely throughout this time. There is so much help out there. So many fantastic tips and tools and things that you guys have run through tonight. And we're going to do a bit of a summary of them all for you next. So this evening on the Mental Health Hour, we've been talking all about mental health in later life. It's been an absolutely fascinating chat, and there are so many fantastic tools and clubs and great things going on across Milton Keynes, John. Can you give us a little bit of a summary of some of the things that we've run through tonight?
As always, I can try.
You'll try, and you always do a fantastic
job.
I
won't get everything in there, but there's a whole host of challenges that people in later life face. The primary thing that Age UK is seeing, and their main mission, is to fight isolation and loneliness. And certainly in our one-to-one service of the people of that age range that we see loneliness being the key thing that they reach out to us for. To be honest with you, anyone of any age, the primary issue that we see is relationships. So communicating with each other, building relationships, strong ones, and maintaining them at all cost is not just going to make you healthier, it's going to make you happier, and it's going to make you more comfortable in your life. And based on some of the studies that we talked about in the show today, it actually helps you live longer as well. Mm. So it's amazing for you. Despite that, there are challenges, like the bus service that we spoke about only being accessible via an app, Connect MK, which isn't necessarily an issue. Loads of people can access it. It gets loads of people out and about. But for people in that later life, they can struggle with technology sometimes. So if you do know somebody that's in later life in your circle, and maybe you've asked them, or they, you know that they struggle to get out and about, helping them set up the app so that, you know, they know how to use it. That could be something really simple that we can do right now that's going to help somebody out. Equally, if somebody really needs to build their bananas back up, accessing things like the longer lunch, the clubs that they go to. I'm sure that Tara wants to hear more singing and on the floor below from those longer lunch clubs. So get going to them if you feel like it would be helpful. But if you don't know what you need, social prescribers are at GP surgery, so you can go there, have a bit of a triage, have a chat with them, and they can help guide you to all of these services that are going to help build your bananas up. So hopefully that helps people.
Nailed it, John. Absolutely nailed it. Thank you very much for that. And if people want to find out more information about Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, I know you mentioned at the top of the show that you've got festival and you're always looking for kind of help and volunteers and corporate support as well. How can people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Yes. So they can go over to our website, arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. And Tara, who is Volunteer Services Manager at Age UK Milton Keynes, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Today, you shared so many fantastic clubs and initiatives in Milton Keynes that Age UK are a part of, and you know, they're really, really vital and really valuable. You actually even mentioned a few that you'd missed out earlier. So
I did.
Let's
yes.
give them a shout out now.
Yeah. So if anybody's feeling particularly energetic on a Monday morning, we operate a ladies walking football group over at Woofton. And on a Friday morning, we have a walking group in Stony Stratford.
So what if anybody, a lovely way to bookend the week.
Nice stroll. And it's
start right,
the walk
right.
is actually split into three. So depending on your level of fitness.
Brilliant.
So you can go into the particular slot that suits you. I always walk with what we call the tortoises. So we are quite a slow walk, but we enjoy it. And it's fresh air, like you were saying earlier, John. Fresh air, get those endorphins going, and good for your mental health.
And like you say, if everybody's at the same ability, then you're all tortoises together.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yes.
Lovely. Brilliant. So if people are interested in the walking football or the walking club or all of the other things that you've mentioned tonight, how can people get in touch with Age UK and find out a little bit more information?
Thank you. Yeah. So our main number is 01908... 550 700, or via the website at ageukmiltonkeynes.org.uk.
Brilliant. And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank
it has
you for
been fascinating
me.
Talking to you. And also John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health
always
Support.
A pleasure.
Always a pleasure. And if you missed anything this evening on the Mental Health Hour, then make sure you head over to our website, because we'll have this as a full podcast at mkfm.com. And do join us for another MK Mental Health Hour on the first Sunday next month.